Officials in Pensacola, Florida, were bracing for disaster today when the crew of a small plane called in a mid-flight emergency. Here's how it played out.
He's about a minute out for runway 17. He's not sure if he's going to make it. He might be landing on I-10.
A truck driver caught it all on video. The pilot with a flight student on board swooped under a roadside structure and safely landed on Interstate 10. Traffic was stopped until the plane was moved from the highway.
We're going to keep it high for now, but we do now have burning oil smell in the cockpit. I don't know if we're going to make the airport. No, we are not making the airport. We're going down on I-10. Just want to let you know, we are lined up with I-10 trying to avoid the cars.
Number 62, you're safe. Number 62, I'm glad to hear that. We're sending everybody your way.
Yeah, thank goodness everybody turned out okay. That's the great news. If you haven't seen the video, oh my God. Goes under one of those, like, metal gantries that holds up the signs, which would not be your first choice if you're a pilot, because it's pretty close. I mean, that's like barnstorming kind of stuff, and I'm sure that she didn't have a choice, or it came up on her at the last minute, or, you know, it's kind of like, I'm losing altitude real fast and speed. I got to save this plane somehow. I guess I'll go under, you know, so she did. It was crazy, but thank God everybody was okay. Joining us now in studio, we have our sheriff, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, and he was on the scene. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. What'd you see? What'd you learn yesterday? Pretty crazy incident, right?
Good morning, Andrew. Yeah, these are not some of the things that you learn in rookie school, right, in the police academy, how to kind of handle these things. When I first got the call, as you kind of heard, there was a possible plane crash on the interstate. I'm like, you know, unfortunately, we've had over the many years, we've had a couple of these in our area, and we're just thinking, man, how bad could this be?
Yeah.
And as we get closer, we realize it was a mercy landing. And again, they could be bad too.
Yeah.
The plane could topple. You know, there could be fires. And then you think about the cars that are on that roadway, not paying attention to what's behind them. And you've seen the video. You referenced it. That how fast the plane was coming, and how fast it was going down. Right.
Yeah.
What a good job.
Yeah.
That she did.
Training works.
She was the trainer, and he was the student, and they switched, you know, controls, I would imagine. But yeah, it was a good, obviously a good result of it.
Right.
And, some pretty good piloting. And then we were able to just push the plane off the side of the road, and I guess someone came and picked it up somehow.
Yeah. That was actually a question somebody had asked me, and I did not have the answer. How did the plane get home? Cause you can't just load a plane on a truck. It's too wide. You'd have to go through, you know, I mean, it's a plane, like the plane is not there anymore, is it?
Well, now that I understand that the plane has been moved, but now
they can't, it's not like she could just, hey, hold on, close the interstate again for me. Yeah, it takes me just a minute to take, because the plane needs,
push me 3 miles down the road.
Well, the plane needs repairs. It can't just take off, but if they could take it, it's not like they can just relaunch, you know, so that's a hard thing to solve.
They possibly could, I guess.
if it was working, yeah.
And I don't know if these wings would fold. It didn't appear as if it looks like I had a fixed wing.
That's my suspicion, too. I don't know anything about this model, and I've had 14 different accounts of what plane this was, so I'm just
I mean, it seems like I'm an airplane expert. I'm not.
Two times in the last month you've had to weigh in on airplane matters.
Two low flybys is about enough for me in a month.
Well, I mean, I don't know why everybody's got all up in arms over this. Pete Hegseth said the flyers will continue until morale improves, and this person just took it to heart, right?
It's civilians and military.
Everybody's in on this game.
Now, I will tell you that I spoke to a couple of the drivers that were they were on the roadway. In fact, the truck that got the video, I spoke to Eric, and he said, man, that thing came up on us, I mean, pretty quick. And because I joked about it, I said, you almost landed in the back of your truck.
Yeah.
It was a little joke of mine. And it was really close.
Yeah.
I mean, she missed the traffic, and then she went under that. You know, I knew the word gantry. I didn't know that's what they were called until now.
Yeah.
You know, this big metal. I used to call them the big metal thing that holds the sign. gantry sounds better.
Sure, thanks.
So for all your listeners, you're all thinking,
structure.
I learned something now. Okay, look at that gantry over there.
My joke has been, now we got to check our sunroof for, you know, blind spots, right? you never know. But I do have a serious question. Did you give the pilot a ticket for exceeding the speed limit?
We were able to warn them.
Warning only?
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't have our speedometers calibrated.
Well, law's the law. Law's the law, you know? Yeah. And so you were
no prisoners.
Fair enough. All right. Anyway, like you said, I mean, kudos. kudos to the pilot for keeping her cool and landing safely and all that. So that's good.
And I do think that we should give a little bit of credit to the road traffic, you know, for understanding what's going on and not bumping.
And the trucker,
single crash that I understand. No one
that's
no
amazing.
One, you know, bumped into someone else by looking or veered off the road.
And the trucker slowed down because he said, I want people and put his hazards on, I think, because
he did.
I want people behind me to realize something's happening in case you didn't miss the plane landing on the road.
Well, you know, people aren't always paying attention and they're certainly not looking up, you know, as much. But, you know, we were able to get the one lane cleared and then ultimately we pushed the plane to the side and got both lanes cleared.
You know,
I will tell you this. I know people were backed up and traffic was backed up. But I can't imagine an emergency landing on an interstate getting cleared faster than that one.
Yeah, I mean it was by the time I had seen the story, it was already clear.
Yeah,
maybe like half hour, whatever, something like that. Because I was taking my nap.
We have about 8 or so deputies that got there. We had about that same amount of highway patrolmen. So we had plenty of people there.
The
airplane.
You make me think of something I hadn't thought of before. But you know how this guy captured it on video. Mm-hmm. You got to believe that some of the people were in like behind him. And it happened right over their head and in front of them. And they were like, had turned around at the moment or were looking down at their phone or something stupid. And they're like, I was there and didn't see it.
Yeah. As a goodbye, how did I miss that?
Right. So their story to their friends is, I was there and I didn't even see it.
That's probably not their story. Like,
no,
hey,
I
zoomed right over
saw it
mine.
All.
Hit my windshield wipers and
terrified me.
Off the gantry.
My windshield wipers. We've had our fun. Let's have a little bit of serious stuff. We had a fifth arrest in the Oakwood Terrace shooting from April.
We arrested a 24-year-old Katrell Rice, Pensacola. As you mentioned, there was the fourth, fifth arrest.
Yeah.
We feel like there's about 6 people involved in this particular battle, gun battle.
Is this the one we had the video of the girl handing the gun at the car and all that?
She was arrested for, that was it. And it happened on April the 12th. It was a double shooting. I think, fortunately, no one died. No one was killed in it. But we had some information on who these people were, but we had to kind of finalize the probable cause. And we've done so, and we've made an arrest. And I'll tell you now, it's not over yet.
Okay.
We may arrest another person.
We had a man found dead from shooting at the Quality Inn.
Yeah, we're still working that case. We got a description, a black male, I think wearing a green hat. I think if we haven't already put that was a grainy picture, but a surveillance type picture that we had. We're going to put that out, and we're asking if anyone has any information they can let us know. We have some leads. But we obviously, the more information that we get, the better.
Okay. We also had this is a pretty bad story involving what turned out to be, we think, an accidental shooting involving two older teens, like 19-year-olds. What was going on here?
Yeah, this one's still active. But right now it looks like it was an accidental shooting. So there were two, I say kids, but they were not juveniles.
Okay.
They were late teens, early 20s.
Okay.
And they were playing around with a handgun, and one person threw a handgun to the other person. And unfortunately, as the second individual caught it, the activated trigger mechanism, and the gun went off, striking the thrower.
Throwing a loaded handgun back and forth to each other?
That's what we're gathering.
Oh, my God. Do we know anything about the gun, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter to me, but I can tell you it was just a type of a handgun.
Okay.
They were dancing to a song, I guess, and they one threw the weapon to the other, and as he caught it, again, the gun went off, striking the tosser, the person that initially tossed it. We have no reason to believe that foul play is involved here.
Okay.
It's just terribly, terribly tragic.
No charges?
The reason
I ask is because obviously no malice, no mens rea, no criminal intent, I assume no criminal background, no felon prohibition on the gun. But still, isn't there a negligent homicide? I mean, you know, if you don't maintain control of your vehicle and kill somebody, you go to jail. If you don't maintain control of a deadly weapon and you act recklessly and irresponsibly with it, it seems like there's something. There's
a
crime there.
Well, that's why I started. It's still open. We are looking at that culpable negligence, or should you have known that what you're doing was reckless?
Yeah.
And could cause harm. That's what we're looking at. But at this point, what I really want to point out is that there's no evidence of foul play to the extent that someone was trying to kill another individual.
Okay, so they were not done necessarily, but at this point, at least it wasn't
there's
an intentional.
There's possibly criminal negligence. That's
okay,
correct.
Got it. Okay, very good. I think those were sort of the – I thought there was one more. The jury duty scam, the one out of Santa Rosa County.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We
The guy claiming to be the Santa Rosa County Clerk of Courts, right?
Yeah, we had an individual get a phone call, so someone claiming to be a clerk of the court for Santa Rosa County, claiming that an individual had missed jury duty, which has been kind of a widespread scam. They kept the individual on the phone for several hours, and not with just one person. We believe it's more than one person. But they convinced the victim to go and get $105,000 from a banking institution and then meet him. Apparently, he drove an Uber to meet. The bad guy drove an Uber to meet this guy and took possession of the $105,000, and then the bad guy drove off. Well, our investigators, using some surveillance video from the Home Depot parking lot, using some license plate reader information that we were able to ascertain, ended up identifying the person that took possession of the money. We don't pretend to get everyone involved in it, because there's probably a number of people that are involved in this this scheme. But we certainly arrested the person that took possession of the money, and with the assistance of the FBI task force up in Atlanta. And so he should be here yesterday, today, and then he'll face those charges.
This stuff terrifies me for people who get older. Mm-hmm. Judgment shifts, capabilities shift, and suddenly they lose a lot of money because they're not quite as savvy anymore. And, of course, young people can too. But, you know, particularly I think of our elderly population being more vulnerable to this. And it's horrifying to think about.
And they're believable, right?
Yeah, they're really good at this. They're good at this. They're good liars.
And they spoof numbers, so it looks like the number's coming from an official government phone.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know about this spoofing stuff, but apparently it comes up on your phone as a potential, you know, Santa Rosa County Clerk of the Court. Or
there are elements of officiality to
it. Yeah, and they know just enough information about you that's available on the internet, and so they're able to get away with it.
The Sheriff's Association has taken a stance, along with, I think, fire, and I forget. There's several several first responder-type law enforcement adjacent have taken a stance against the property tax amendment, right? The property tax referendum. You're a part of the Florida Sheriff's Association, obviously. Is it a signatory thing? Are you on this?
The Florida Sheriff's Association is not going to say vote yes or no for a specific item, but what they do like to do is educational-type information. And so the initial statement that they put out, basically, and I will I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a little bit long, but it basically says potentially our fear would be potentially allows Tallahassee to control your local budgets. It's this chipping away at home rule is something that we feel very strongly about as sheriffs, that the taxpayers in the Scheme County should be able to say where the tax dollars that they're paying goes, in which budget, how much should go to the sheriff's office, how much should go to the fire department, how much should go to the ambulance service. I'm not a fan of property tax. I feel like the legislature should have done more, quite frankly. They should have eliminated all property tax and shifted that to some other
and created a framework so that some replacement revenue could be offered. Right.
So I'm not a fan of the erosion of home rule. Again, I do not think Tallahassee, I do not think a representative from Tampa or Manatee County knows better about where the tax dollars here in Escambia County should go. And I'm very concerned about that. However, I also want tax reform. I also pay taxes here in Escambia County. I own a home, and we pay property tax. I just wish that they would have done it with a complete elimination of property tax. Because if you make the statement that property tax is bad, then all property tax should be bad to me.
Right. And including the school portion, of course. Right.
I think it's a swing and a miss.
And as you say, but there, we absolutely need to be able to control our money for first responders, and I have a lot of concerns about this particular one as well. Last thing is the Florida Sheriff's Association, selects their board members, board directors, and all of that for District 1, which is our region. And who did they select this year?
Well, they convinced me to do that. Yeah. The Sheriff's Association.
It's quite an honor.
It is. It really is to represent the region. We have the association itself has a president, vice president, secretary, and treasury, but they also have a board of directors. Again, as you mentioned, they have representatives from
I picture you more as a secretary.
What? Secretary of War?
Go on.
No,
as you were.
No, I was so I'm honored to be a part and represent the basically the Florida Panhandle. in this, because we do the Sheriff's Association does a lot of advocacy for the sheriff's offices, whether it is statutes that we like, that we want to push for, tougher sentences, and that sort of thing. But it's basically protecting the office of the sheriff and trying to protect the citizens of our various counties.
Seems like a combination of good honor and also more work for you in the legislative session.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple drives over there to Tallahassee, but yep. I mean, I guess that's the fortunate part about being, first of all, you're 3 hours away.
You're not in Miami.
A good one, but mm-hmm. You don't have to drive 6 hours to get to Tallahassee, so there'll be a couple more trips.
Can you imagine being the sheriff from Key West? I don't know if they even have a sheriff in Key West.
Probably they do have a sheriff. They have a sheriff in all 67 counties, yes.
That's a long drive. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it, and congratulations. It is an honor.
You bet. Y'all take care.